If we couldn't fix it, then why am I crying? I can't deny it or I would be lying. All the good and the bad, everything that we had left me in the dark and it's all coming back. I'm just so sick of being sad. How do I go from feeling broke?
You just heard a snippet of the new single Broke to Brand New by Canadian Nashville-based country artist Shantaya. With over 300,000 streams, she is making her mark on both sides of the border in country music. Here to talk about her latest single and her new music video is country music's rising star, Shantaya.
Hello.
Well, welcome to the show, girl.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been. It's been too long, and that's my fault for releasing music too far apart.
Well, you know what? This was worth the wait. What can I say? Definitely worth
the wait. Yeah, it feels that way.
There's been so much that's gone on, so much change since COVID's happened. You've had some great success with your music career. So tell us about the transitioning that it took for you to go through COVID, getting the new music out and adjusting to all that that entailed.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my peers and a lot of other artists, they decided to, you know, hold off on releasing music and take a minute to kind of like reassess, take a step back. And I kind of took a very different approach and sort of just jumped, you know, right in to my music and saw an opportunity to just go full force at it. So I moved to Nashville in the middle of the pandemic and released had a good weekend, and that, you know, really just, I feel like, worked in my favor. And now I feel like we're getting back to a little bit of normalcy. We're seeing tours being announced and festival dates being announced, and it feels like it's going to stick this time. So I do feel like it's all just been really good timing, and COVID to me kind of felt like a blessing in disguise for my career.
It's given you a chance to be able to formulate a plan too, like moving to Nashville and being able to go in through all of that. What's been the biggest surprise for you for Nashville?
The biggest surprise, I mean, that town surprises me every day with just how much inspiration it creates. And you know, you think as a songwriter that when you're writing every day, they're like, how am I going to keep thinking of new ideas, or how am I going to have better ideas? And that town surprised me every day because I feel like I continue to grow as a songwriter, and I'm writing better songs even when I think I can't anymore. Something better comes, you know, the next day, and so that's been a really like interesting thing to sort of navigate. And I love that town. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm so glad I moved there. I'm in Saskatchewan right now, so I'm speaking like it's so far away. But
well, it's different to recording and writing and doing, I would say, more of the writing end of it, right? When you're in Nashville, it's like being on steroids in comparison to writing here in Ontario and Canada, right?
Yeah, well, and I feel like, you know, I love Canada, but I feel like we're also spread out, and our community, our country music community, the only time we really get to see each other is when we're playing festival shows, and it's always in passing, or when we get together at the CCMAs. So it's so far and few in between, these interactions with our peers. And when you go to Nashville, you're interacting with them every day. It's like CCMAs every single day of the week and the weekend, you know? So that's what I love about it, is like you said, it's on steroids. So it's just this constant flow of music and inspiration, and it's just so invigorating.
It must be when it comes to the writing process, because you're in so much more in the writing sessions in comparison to when you're here in Canada, and you're just doing it constantly. What is the biggest change you've noticed about your writing since making that move?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, just as a skill as writing, you know, being a skill and something that I think that you have to sharpen that tool. The more you do it, the sharper you are on your feet in a room, and the quicker you are to think of maybe something different or new. And instead of, you know, recycling some ideas, you're just, you kind of are forced to really think quicker on your feet and level up to your peers. So I think that's been the biggest thing that I've noticed, is just really sharpening that skill and honing that craft, and just becoming like more confident in a room and coming up, like almost surprising myself some days, like, you know, I wrote that line, or I wrote that whole course, you know, just like kind of surprising myself that to see how much I've grown as a writer.
That's pretty awesome. And we've got some great Canadians that have all moved out there. There's so many of the Canadians out there in Nashville right now.
We're a whole little family. It's fun because we're, you know, always getting together for Easter and our Canadian Thanksgiving. And we also get together on American Thanksgiving. You know, we've really created this, like, this group of people. And even though we all tend to kind of, like, branch out into our own little groups, we always come together to celebrate each other's wins and make sure that we're, you know, always there for each other. So we really have created this like little Canadian community in Nashville.
That's really nice. It makes it feel a lot more like home. And that's the one thing that the Canadian country artists are so good at, is cheerleading for each other. And that's pretty 100%. Special. Yeah.
It is very special. Yeah. I'm very lucky. I mean, I wouldn't have had, I think, the you know, the opportunities and the, just the whole experience that I've had with moving to Nashville, had it not been for all of my other Canadian friends that, you know, helped me navigate it. And we have so many questions to ask as Canadians when we're moving down to Nashville, because we, you know, we have to apply for visas and we have to take all these steps. We're talking health insurance, we're talking, you know, all these things. So it's really, like you said, just like they create a home and are always there to like have your back and help you out when you need it.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. We are really good Canadians, I'm telling you. We've got a lot of great people, you know, that are in this industry and so willing to help each other, and that's what I love. Now talk to us about the process for you, your writing style, and like, do you start with a name or a chorus or a melody? Like, what is your writing style?
Yeah, I tend to do one or two things. It usually is bringing in a title and a concept and building a melody around it. And then there's other days when I find when I'm writing on my own, the melody is the thing that kind of comes first, and then I start scrolling through ideas and titles that might go with it. So it really depends on kind of who I'm writing with, or you know, if I'm writing with somebody new, it's usually like bringing in an idea first and letting the melody come. But there's definitely kind of like different ways to go about it, but I find that those two avenues are the ways that I kind of approach a writing session.
Okay, so as a songwriter, is there an artist that you look up to when it comes to the kind of writer that you strive to be?
Yeah, right now Maren Morris is such an influence. Every single album that she's put out, listening to it, you know, front to back, over and over and over again, and I just never get sick of listening to her lyrics and the way she sings those lyrics. The emotion she puts behind it is something I really strive for, and I think she's got this different approach to country music. And there's, you know, on her new record, I don't know if you've listened to it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of little like peaks and valleys of different, you can hear different inspiration in each song, and genre wise, you know, you get her roots country, then you get that pop country and a little bit of rock in, you know, the song Nervous. So I want to be able to really like never be put into a small box and have an expectation of what my music's always going to sound like. I want people to kind of just be on edge, sort of anticipating what I'm going to put out. And I think Maren does an incredible job of that.
Oh gosh, there isn't anything that she can't write.
Truly. I think she is just like so multi-talented and so diverse. And that's honest to God what I strive to be, because I grew up with so many different musical influences, and my brothers listened to rock all the time. And my parents and grandparents were always country music and roots and that kind of stuff. And then I was listening to pop music. So I kind of just have all three things kind of circulating in my brain, and I don't want to be limited to one thing. So Maren Morris is like the dream goal.
Oh, that's awesome. Is there a song that jumps out at you when you grew up and what your influences were, and you went, that's what I want to sound like? Is there a song that you connected with the most?
I listened to a lot of Martina McBride, and I remember always singing Anyway and by Martina, and I just think that, like, I think stylistically my music is in a different pocket right now, but everything that song kind of encapsulates, like, just it just makes you feel something, and mm-hmm. That's all I really want, is that, you know, when people listen to my music, whether it's a breakup song or it's a song like Anyway, where it's just very general kind of like advice, you know, in life, that I just want people to listen to my music and feel something.
Mm-hmm. Because everything that you're writing is also a journey in your own life, you know, a
yes.
snippet of time, and you always evolve, and you can really see that in your music right now.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you say that, because it's really, you know, it's sometimes it's hard as a songwriter to open up and just write what you're feeling and then put it out in the world. I guess it's not that hard for us to open up and put it on paper, but the hard part is to actually want to share that with the rest of the world and kind of open up to that, like, judgment or criticism, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I think I try to go in with an open mind and just say, like, there's going to be people out there that are going to relate, even if there are critics or people that don't like it. I've always found there's always people that are coming to me being like, oh my God, I needed this song right now because I'm going through a breakup, or I just needed this song right now because I needed to escape my crazy life and just have fun, you know? So I think that that's really important and really special.
I think so. And I think it's difficult to be vulnerable, but it's one way of being able, like you said, to be able to put those lyrics down on paper,
yeah.
You know, put some penmanship to it and, you know, be able to release that. And that's just a snippet of time for you, but very special to people, different situations, male or female, you know, didn't matter what age group. It really does resonate. And you have done a phenomenal job. Have a good weekend. Let's talk about that one. You had great success with this single. Tell us about writing that.
Yeah, it's funny because that song is so, like, upbeat and fun and summery. And my friend Ryan Sorstad, he's originally from Saskatchewan, has been living in Nashville for close to 10 years now. And every spring and summer, he comes back to Saskatchewan and helps his family with harvest. And he was home one fall, and it was pouring rain pretty much across the province. And I told him when he had a day of rain that he, you know, didn't have to stay on the farm and help his family out with harvest, to drive into Saskatoon and we'd sit down and write. And we had a downpour, and he walks in and we're both kind of feeling like this rain sort of like affecting our minds a little bit.
Mm.
And I, the day before, had started writing I wrote the first verse of Had a Good Weekend, and I had the melody hook to the chorus kind of already happening, and I just knew that I wanted to take it to Ryan, and I said, okay, we need to get out of this like rain funk, let's just close the blinds, forget that it's raining outside, and I want you to hear this idea that I have. And I didn't have a title for this song yet. I just knew I wanted it to be this like fun weekend sort of song with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we started writing the chorus, and this doesn't happen very often where like we write an entire chorus not knowing where our hook is going to land, like what the title is going to be. And this is one of the like very rare songs that's exactly what happened. Like we hit the whole half a song. We didn't know where it was going. And I was like, you know, we hung over with your friends, we said, and I'm like, if you wake up hungover with your friends, you had a good weekend. So it just sort of like tied itself in its own little bow, and we high-fived each other on the couch and finished writing the song. And it was so easy and fun, and like just turned our whole evening around because it was pouring rain. And then, you know, we wrote this fun, upbeat song. And I knew from the moment we finished writing it, I was like, Ryan, this is going to be a single at some point. So like, just cross your fingers that we are able to do this. And he's been a co-writer on like the last three singles of mine. So
mm-hmm.
we're doing something right, I think.
Well, you know, when it fits, you know, when you're comfortable, and you know, you can produce with certain writers, and those are the
exactly.
ones that you tend to gravitate to when you have a body of work that you got to get out there. And obviously this has worked really well. What has it meant to you to hear how much buzz there was with Canadian country fans over this song, and how cool it was? It was just so cool to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I just got chills like when you said that. Like it really was kind of my first taste of people really hearing my song on the radio and following me on social media because they heard my music in like Halifax, Nova Scotia, or you know, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Like, there's just like people from all over the place, all over Canada and in the U.S. actually, that were just following me on social media, being like, I heard your song on the radio, or I come across it on a Spotify playlist, or, you know, just, it was really cool because I hadn't saw that really yet with my music. I think I had a lot of support from friends and family and like longtime fans of just, you know, places I've played and met certain people along the way. But it felt like Had a Good Weekend was really the start of something special, and which is so exciting to me because it kind of was the song that started this next project that I'm working on. So it's just so cool to see how people reacted to it. And you know, the music video was so fun, and my first CMT feature. So it really was just kind of like surreal. I didn't really believe it was happening. It was pretty cool.
Very, very cool for all of us to watch too. And seeing that fan base grow so quickly and everybody excited for your music. We're going to play this one right now. And this is one that started it all, as she said, just turning that corner. And that is Had a Good Weekend by country artist Shantaya here on Music's Journey.
It's 5 and we're leaving. Couple bottles of wine, my music's playing. Everybody swaying, everybody drinking. Yeah, you ain't gonna party alone. All the girls are slaying, got the boys to thinking that they ain't going home alone. Nah. We don't need a reason, we're just kicking out the weekend. Getting our chill until the night is long. Gonna do it all over again. Sipping on Grey Goose whiskey, feel good tipsy. Text and address. Leave it up to Kyle to get arrested. Yeah, he did. Got the room spinning, karaoke singing. Let's go, girls, tonight is on. You're living in the moment, rocking and a rolling. Come on, y'all sing along. We don't need a reason, we're just kicking out the weekend. Getting our chill on.
Was Had a Good Weekend by my very special guest, country artist Shantaya. Don't forget you can download it, share it on all your playlists, and you can also request it at your local country radio station. Such a great song. We all absolutely love your music, and I am so excited about the journey you're on right now.
Thank you. I am too. It feels just like electric, you know, and I never want this feeling to go away.
Well, I can't see that it's going to, just on the road that you're on right now and discovering, you know, that vulnerability and what that does, what it produces in your writing. And it's so cool to watch. As I said, you've evolved so much as a writer. And when you first started out at the age of 18, right out of high school, what has it been? What's been the biggest change that you've noticed in your writing?
I released my first couple singles right out of high school, and I think just stylistically, it's very different. It was very, very rock country then, and I think that really stemmed from listening to the music that my brothers were listening to. They're listening to like Pop Evil and Blink-182 and Slipknot, like all these different kind of punk rock bands. And I think at 18 you don't really maybe know. I knew I wanted music to be my career path, and where I was very ambitious and motivated, but when it come to the music that I think really fed my soul, it took me a while to find that. And I think I really, you know, have found that now in a more pop country lane. And obviously so grateful for the first couple singles that I put out in radio, you know, getting my feet wet essentially. But I think just stylistically, sonically, and lyrically, I've grown so much, and you can kind of just see that over the years, and which I love. I love seeing the growth, and I think that you never stop growing and learning in this industry.
It's interesting when fans are able to absolutely zone right in and to be able to understand and say, you know what, she's found the sound. She's found exactly, you know, who she wants to be. And that's what all of us feel right now with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty special. Is there kinds of stories that you find that are your favorite to write?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of cool because recently, especially since I moved to Nashville, I've been playing so many like writer rounds and like the listening room and all these places where people just really sit and listen to the lyric, and they really tell you when they feel something. And I kind of found a bit of a theme between certain songs that my audience was resonating with the most, and it was breakup songs, you know, feeling heartbroken and going through that type of heartbreak is really something that I found my audience was like really connecting to in my music. And then on the flip side of it, it was like the fun party songs, nostalgia, you know, having a good time, and which I thought was really cool because they're two completely different feelings. And you know, to feel down and out and heartbroken is one thing, and then to be up and happy and having a good time is a complete opposite feeling. So I thought that was really cool, and I think that that was something that I found myself writing, like those two things where I found myself really writing about those two things. And which is funny because I'm in love, I've been in a relationship for 7 years, and I just find like those songs a little bit like harder to write about without it sounding cheesy or you know, things like that. But the heartbreak and the having a good time just happened to become a common theme in my music.
It was funny because I had Dean Dillon on about a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the best writers in the world. And he would always say, he would know that those would be the best songs that you're ever going to write, to be able to connect into those feelings with somebody. And it's so true. Because, you know, people connect with it.
It's a universal feeling. Yeah, it's a universal feeling. And not that we all always feel the same way, but I think because music is so universal that we can connect, even if we felt different types of hurt and gone through different experiences, we find like a connection through a song. And I think that's like where I love my job so much, because I get to write something that like, you know, so many people can connect on a different level or find a different way to connect to something that I wrote, and I maybe wrote it feeling a totally different way, you know? So, it's really cool to connect on something so like maybe even like so terrible, you know, heartbreak's not a great thing to go through, but when we write songs about it, it can turn out to kind of be a beautiful thing in a way.
It is, because it's a new rebirth in a lot of ways. You're coming out the other side of it. It's a new part of your journey and being able to navigate through those feelings. Everybody wants to be able to connect to something, and it just seems to help. And music seems to be that healing, you know, that healing thing that all of us can relate to and all of us turn to.
Yeah, and we needed it more than ever in COVID. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm so grateful that I released all this music throughout COVID, and because I think that people really needed it. Like, they needed something to connect to and, you know, emote with and feel with. So, I think music is just, like, such a savior.
I think it moves us through so many different parts in our lives. You know, and 100%. This is something that our generation has never seen before. Our parents have and our grandparents have. But to be able to go through something like this, we all can connect through music around the world. And we're seeing that. That's why Canadians are doing so well in the UK and Australia. It's just we're crossing borders like we've never crossed before.
Yeah, I think it's so cool to watch. And even into the U.S., a lot of our Canadian females are absolutely crushing it in the U.S. right now. And like you said, it's really cool to see Canadians pushing borders.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've got a lot of them over there, and they are doing so well. What has it been like for you just navigating through what work-life balance is for you? Is it harder in Nashville when you're there or easier?
Yeah, you know, I think when I first moved there, finding a balance between, because I think Nashville has this, like, I guess, sort of theory or concept of, like, you got to go all the time and go out. And, you know, there's obviously the drinking culture and just constantly going out and eating and drinking and networking. We call it networking. And I think there's a time and place for it. And I have had to find that balance because I place a very high standard on my health and fitness and trying to keep myself healthy. And it's really hard to do in a town like Nashville when you're there 24/7. And the, you know, our lives in the music industry are all over the place. We don't really have a whole lot of structure and routine. So finding a routine and putting a priority on that was really important for me. And I think I kind of was lucky because when I moved in COVID, a lot of things were slower in Nashville, where it's like now they're back to just being 110% like on steroids again. You know, everybody's traveling there and you got the tourists are back and they're on the buses and they're drinking their faces off. So it's, you know, I think I kind of lucked out in a way because I got to go to Nashville when things were a little bit like quieter and I got to just sort of figure out what was important to me and pick and choose the nights where I stayed in and just worked on my set or I, you know, wrote some music or just had a bubble bath and relaxed or went to the gym instead, you know? So it's been interesting trying to find that balance, but I think I've definitely found it, and I'm really proud of myself because there's a lot of people in that town that run, and then burn themselves out. So I do think it's really important just finding a balance that works for you.
It's been good timing because a lot of the artists have spoken, you know, throughout COVID on the show and talking about being able to step back and really listen to the songs that they've been releasing and taking a look at it, go, do I want to try something? Because you never have that time to be able to step back and really dig into it in a way where you're not having to promote the stuff that you've just recorded and you're out there at the festivals. You're able to step back and look at, you know, you're writing in a different way. Look at yourself and reflect in a way that you probably normally never would have. And that's really been great for you going on a move like that.
Yeah, and I think we even just before COVID forgot to like celebrate the little wins, the big wins. Mm-hmm. Like we're just so busy. It's like literally that Alabama song, like I'm in a hurry to get things done, you know. It's just
so
like everybody was just constantly go and I know obviously COVID was so horrible for so many people but it really was, I think, like a bit of a wake up call for some people to just step back a little bit. I know Jason Blaine released an incredible record that was something different from what he's done in the past, and it was something that he's been wanting to do, and I think COVID kind of gave him an opportunity to think about like what he wanted to do, not what everybody else wanted him to do. And I think a lot of artists had that like revelation over COVID, and I think that was like really good for everybody's artistry and their creativity and their process, and it kind of helped us reevaluate like what we really wanted to do and what, and not what everybody else wanted us to do.
Yeah, it's just a nice refresh, you know, restart, and it's it's helped out in a lot of ways. And we have to look at the positive out of a bad situation, and you know, that's what helps us to come out the other side. Yeah, like I'm just I'm one of those people that look for the silver lining, you know, in everything. So what was it like for you to perform at the Listening Room Cafe?
So crazy. It was so good. I mean, I had my, my debut just over a year ago and then like played six more times, you know, throughout like
That's
my first
so
year.
That's so awesome.
Just so cool. And I'm, you know, so grateful to friends, you know, asking me to be a part of their rounds. They were the ones putting on the rounds and they, you know, asking me to join them. And it was really cool. Just that, that stage has almost become like as iconic as the Bluebird Cafe, you know,
it's 100%.
It's a staple spot and people sit and they listen and they, and I honestly never in my life had such an attentive crowd. And it was overwhelming, honestly, how intrigued everybody was. Like, just they knew they walked into the Listening Room and it was a time to listen. So, so cool to sit up on that stage. And the first time was just like a blur, like it all just, you know, went by so fast. And then the second time I got to play, I was like, okay, I'm gonna like enjoy this and I'm gonna take it all in. And I really did that. And I, you know, one of my favorite places to play in Nashville.
Oh, that's so awesome. It's a different kind of listening audience because it's different than going into a different kind of club. And people are there to party. People are there to, you know, listen to great music too. But the Listening Room is a different type of audience.
And
that had to have been nerve-wracking for you at first.
Yeah, you know, it's like everybody's, like a songwriter's dream for people to just like sit and listen and not talk through their songs. At the same time, it's like a bit of a shock because you're like, whoa, they're like actually listening and they actually like, you know, some people were crying or laughing and just like they're so reactive to what you're, like they're just on it. They know what you're saying. It's like having a conversation with your audience and which is so, so cool. And what I also love about the Listening Room is, yeah, there's a lot of tourists that come to check it out, but they know what it's about and they come very respectful and there to listen. But then you just never know who's going to be there. You invite people out, and I met some of my now best friends from the highway, Macy and Nick, and they came to my second or third time ever playing the Listening Room and approached me and my friend Vanessa Marie Carter and just were like, hey, we loved your music and like let's hang out sometime. And you just never know who's going to be sitting in that audience listening to you
awesome.
And become some of your best friends and allies in that town.
That is cool. That is really, really cool.
Very cool.
Now, you've gained a lot of fans in Nashville as well and throughout the state. So you've been nominated for your first ever Saskatchewan Country Music Award. What was that like hearing your name announced? Because I know it was different. You know, you weren't able to be on stage for that. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, winning the SCMA Emerging Artist Award was just so crazy. Was not expecting it. And was actually, I had to play a show the next day in Toronto, and so I couldn't be there. And Aaron Goodvin who was a mentor of mine and a good friend. I've written with him many times, and he was the one that got to like announce my name. And then my cousin Brody Sieber went and accepted the award for me. And we were watching the live stream, and I was driving, and I shouldn't have been, but I like pulled over and I started crying. I was like, oh my God, like, was that my name? Like, they just said my name. So it's so, so crazy. And you know, since then been nominated, haven't won one again since. But, you know, like, just being nominated at the SCMAs is always an honor and feeling, you know, a little bit of reward to all the hard work you put in a year and your peers kind of recognizing that.
Well, hands down, it is not going to be your last. I'm telling you, you are that good. You are just
such a
great, great artist. Let's talk about your latest single because it is killing it on the country charts, sitting at number 33, and that's Broke to Brand New. Tell us about this one. This is the opposite to the fun party song. This is the other end of it. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I actually, Broke to Brand New was kind of I feel like the first song that after moving to Nashville, I was writing a lot of songs for other people and for a different project, this like pop sync project that some friends and I have been working on. And then I kind of realized that maybe I was sort of not really avoiding writing for myself, but just hadn't hit that like that money song yet that made me really feel something. Yeah, that sweet spot. And so it was just crazy. One night I was at a gig in Midtown and was about to go on for my like 1 hour set. And just as I'm pulling my guitar out of my case, I'm kind of right next to this, you know, to the right of me. And there's this couple that were talking about this broke down truck that was new to them. And they kind of just said it like that, like, oh, broke down truck, new to us, brand new to us. And I was like, oh, like broke down, brand new. And I kind of like wrote it down on my phone. And then I went home that night and just like my whole set, I just had it like in the back of my mind and it wasn't, you know, fully present. I was sort of just thinking about this song title that really resonated with me, and went home and didn't even turn the lights on, grabbed my roommate's guitar and sat in this dark living room and wrote the entire chorus in a matter of like 3 minutes, just poured out of me. And it was just so crazy. And it turned into like broke to brand new. Like, how do I go from feeling broke to brand new? And it was so cool because then I like sent that voice memo to my friend's Ryan Sorstad, who wrote Had a Good Weekend and Two Cents with me. And our friends Golden West, a duo from California living in Nashville, Britt and Nash, and they were all freaking out, like full on capitals, you know, in the text message chain. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, don't write it with anybody else. Don't finish it. We want to finish it with you. Like, so many ideas for this. And so I left it alone for a couple days and I didn't touch it. And then we all got together a few days later and finished the song. And we, Britt is an amazing producer, and she produced this. We just did this like stripped back demo, and it was just her playing the guitar and me singing on the mic. And we did it like kind of live off the floor. And the boys came down back to the studio and we sat and just like listened to it. And we all started crying. It was sort of weird, you know, it's just one of those moments where you felt like it was something special. And in my gut, like I knew something good was going to come from this song. And I held on to it for, I mean, over a year. Like I played it out. I sang it at the listening room, and I sang it at all these different rounds around town. And people would always be like, oh my God, I love that song. Or, oh my God, like I'm going through a breakup right now. And like I had somebody at the listening room tell me that she just got divorced. She found her husband cheating on her, and like told me that she started crying. She's sitting in the front row, and it was my first time playing the listening room, and she came up and told me that after. And I was just like, man, this song is so special. Like it's resonating with people in so many different, like I've never gone through a divorce, and you know, like I just how other people resonate with something that you felt in a moment and wrote something about it, you know. So it was so cool. And I'm you know, like I said, it was just like a gut feeling. I had people along the way tell me that it wasn't strong enough, like you know, some people in the industry kind of like, eh, it's not your strongest song. And I was sort of like, I don't know, like it really gives me that feeling. And I'm glad that I listened to my gut, because it's really turned into something even more special than I ever imagined.
Well, special to all of us too that are playing it on air, because it's one of so many fans' favorites, and I love it myself personally. I relate to it. It's such a great, great song. We're going to play it right now. Here is Broke to Brand New by country artist Shantaya here on Music's Journey.
If we couldn't fix it, then why am I crying? I can't deny it or I would be lying. All the good and the bad, everything that we had, left me in the dark and it's all coming back. I'm just so sick of being sad. How do I go from feeling broke to brand new? Will I always feel jaded by love? Enough.
was the hit single Broke to Brand New that's out right now by my very special guest, country artist Shantaya. Don't forget, you can also download this song and add it to, you can get it on all streaming platforms, you can share it on your playlist, and you also can request it at your country local radio station. That's got to make you feel pretty darn special.
Yeah, it actually hit the 400,000 mark just the other day. It was crazy. It is so cool. It's actually my highest streamed song now. You know, Had a Good Weekend was, and then this one sort of just like snuck right up, and then like whew, just flew right past. And it was so cool to see, and you know, I'm very grateful to my team for like working the crap out of it. For, you know, you just, everybody always trying to build those numbers and build that story, and you know, it helps us get into those meetings with the big record labels and stuff. So yeah, it's been so cool to watch, and yeah, every other day it seems like something new happens, like new playlist, or you know, somebody else adds it to this station. So yeah, it's so cool.
Now talk to us about the upcoming, well, you've got new music coming, but talk about the video for this one.
Yeah, the music video for this one I shot with Ryan Nolan. He's been my go-to. He also shot the Had a Good Weekend music video, and we're planning on working on a couple, you know, new things coming up here in the next month and month and a half. And Ryan's amazing, fellow Canadian from Ontario, and he's just like so good at taking my crazy concepts and like making them come to life. Like, I'm this, you know, big dreamer. I'm just like, hey, I want to smash a bunch of stuff, and I want it to be slow-mo, and like, I want, you know, all these things. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, you know, just being, it's kind of unrealistic, you know. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna find a way to make it happen, and I'm gonna do it in like a tiny little budget, because I'm, you know, this emerging artist that doesn't have a whole lot of money. So he's just so great, and he's always believed in me and believed in the projects, and he likes my crazy ideas, so we work really well together. So this video was so much fun to shoot. It was just me and him, and we went to like Goodwills and garage sales and just like all this random stuff to grab lamps and breakable things that he brought his bat, and I kind of trashed his bat. Like, I was smashing things so hard, but it was so much fun, and he really brought it to life. So I'm just so grateful to him, and I hope everybody gets a chance to watch it and has a little therapy in watching, because it was definitely therapeutic for me to smash all that stuff.
I have a funny feeling that there's going to be a lot of, you know, girls' nights where, yeah, you know, the girls are going to be going to these places that do this, and they allow, yeah, you to go in there and just smash everything. So they're going, oh, that's what I need right now. That's what I need
to
do.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, I was so funny, because like initially I wanted to find a smash room. Like, they do, this is a thing. Like, there's actual smash rooms.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the one that was open in Nashville was closed because of COVID, and they hadn't reopened it yet. So Ryan and I just like decided to set up our own personal smash room in my friend's garage, and it worked out perfectly. It was literally my own personal like therapy session. It was great.
Well, I was there with you. When I'm watching the video, I'm right there with you.
So. Perfect. I'm glad. I've had a lot of people tell me that they're like, the music video is therapeutic, and I was like, yeah, that was the goal. I should get everybody to like start smashing their own stuff and sending me videos, and I'll post them smashing stuff. Just be careful.
See, I'm telling you, it's therapeutic. It works. It does
totally.
A really good job. As long as you're not smashing anybody's stuff, it's your own
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Like, go buy it from Goodwill or whatever, and just like have a heyday.
Oh, that's so awesome. Now, talk to us about what it feels like for you, because you've got all this new music coming up. You've moved to Nashville. You performed at the Listening Room Cafe. You're heading out on tour with Washboard Union on an East Coast tour. So, man, very first tour for you.
Very first tour. I'm actually just, yeah, I've been laying low and sass, just getting ready for this tour. And it's going to be a busy just like spring and summer, so I'm not going to get to see family very often. So kind of spent the, you know, kind of saw this like 2-week window opportunity to come home, spend some time with family, get ready for the tour, and yeah, then we're heading out May 11th, first date in Halifax, and my first tour with Raquel Cole too. And I admire her so much. I think she is such a rock star, and I'm just excited to watch them do their thing. Like, I get to play my set, and I get to sit back and watch them and just be amazed by their talent. So I'm so excited.
Well, they are such sweethearts. I've had Dave on the show a few times, and you don't get any more humble than what they are. And their fashion sense, their fashion sense is really good.
Oh, they're just like the coolest guys. You know, you look at them, and if you've never heard their music before, you're like, ooh, what am I going to hear? And then you hear their music, and you're like pleasantly surprised. And like you said, they're the most humble guys. So when you meet them, like I've met them a few times at CCMAs and just chatted with them via social media a few times now before and like after finding out that I was going out on this tour with them. And like you said, just like, it doesn't get more humble than that. They're just like so nice to everybody they meet, and I feel like they never have a bad day. You know, they're just always so kind. So I'm so excited to go out on tour with them and get to know them a little bit better. It's going to be so much fun.
Now you've got new music coming out. Are you going to be playing that while you're out on tour?
Yes, yeah, we'll debuting a lot of brand new music and the next single. So you know, kind of just like, still trying to push Broke to Brand New and see what it does on the charts, but we're gearing up and we're ready to release the next one as soon as this one drops off the charts. So we're not going to leave anybody waiting as long as I did between How to Get a Weekend and
don't do that.
I learned my lesson, Kim. I went into the studio in August last year and recorded 3 songs, so I am locked loaded and ready to fire.
Are ready to fire. Well, promise me you're going to come back and we're going to talk. Yes, and talk about your new stuff. What did it feel like and mean to you to hear being up for the CCMA award really soon?
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool because, I mean, being, you know, SCMA nominated and then now being part of the top of the country with the CCMAs, and kind of it feels like taking that like next step, and just it's all very exciting and almost like I don't believe it's really happening. Like, it's pretty cool. So very exciting thing.
Well, there's just so much coming around that corner in May, so we're really looking forward to it. You've got some new merch as well for this tour, right?
Yes, yeah. Just like very, I've got hats that I've sold in the past, and they're always like a fan favorite. Everybody buys the hat. So I've got those coming out with me on tour, plus a new hat and some new t-shirts. So I'm really excited.
Nice.
And then I can't wait till next year when I've got a physical album in my hand that I can bring to the next tour, you know?
How many songs are going to be on this album? Because this is your new concept right now that you're working on. Can you tell us about a little bit about it?
Yeah. So like I said, it's going to be a concept album. It's a theme, and I don't really want to give it away too much, but you have seen kind of like two sides of it already, and one of the songs on the album that nobody's heard, I've kept it super under wraps because I don't want to give away the concept too much, so it'll be like fresh and brand new. Nobody will have heard that song. Yeah, I'm just so excited. There's going to be at least 8 songs on the album. So going back into the studio next month, or June, I guess, and finishing up recording.
Very cool. So excited to hear, and can't wait for that one to come out. So we've got a couple singles that are gonna be coming before that hits the airways. So do you have time for a few burning questions before you go?
I always have time for burning questions.
There we go. Okay. Favorite TV series?
Oh, Grey's Anatomy, because I'm currently rewatching it, and just obsessed.
I've missed Chicago Fire and, you know, all the ones. Grey's Anatomy is one that I watch right with it too. And Chicago PD. I always watch those right from, like, I haven't seen anything from this year whatsoever.
I know. It's
killing me.
It's just one of the shows that, like, I just had to rewatch it. It was, like, staring at me on my Netflix. And I just decided, like, okay, it's time to rewatch this.
Well, at least I got Yellowstone in before I got really busy.
Oh, my God. Why did I say? I didn't say Yellowstone. Yellowstone.
Oh, you like it too.
I love Yellowstone. Okay, I'm taking Grey's Anatomy back because that's my second.
It comes in second to Yellowstone.
Oh my God, I love Yellowstone because I grew up riding horses and, like, you know, the same performance horses that they're like, I mean, not to that level, but like the reining and the working cow horse and stuff like that was how I grew up. So It just feeds my soul. I love that show.
I know. I do too. I do too.
I dream about it.
I love it. Every part about it. I love it. Okay. Favorite dream destination anywhere in the world?
I want to go to Bali. I just, there's something like really bougie about it. Like I can't afford to go to Bali right now, but I hope one day I can go.
That's very cool answer. Favorite Canadian song on the radio today, male or female, group or duo, any genre?
Ooh, I'm really loving Tennille Townsend's new song, When's It Gonna Happen? I crank that every time I hear it on the radio.
Such a good song. Such a good song. Great pick. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you think back to your favorite singer-songwriter of all time, who would be the one that meant the most to you growing up and why?
Favorite singer-songwriters. I mean, when I, you know, on the singer side of things, Martina McBride was so influential to me, and just listening to her record. And then a few years later, I actually, you know, started to educate myself a little bit more on the songwriter side of things. Mm-hmm. And Gordy Sampson, who's actually a Canadian writer, wrote a ton of the Waking Up Laughing album for Martina. So I started diving into a lot of Gordy Sampson writes, and he, you know, writing with Tennille Townsend and has written Carrie Underwood, Luke Bryan, like all the things. So I feel like without knowing it growing up, I was listening to a lot of Gordy Sampson songs and loving them. So he's actually like my dream co-write right now. Like I would love to write with him. I got to do a songwriter round with him at Cavendish Beach Music Festival a couple years back.
Nice.
So I feel like that was like a moment where I almost was able to like get into his into a room with him one day. But
Close, but not quite.
I'm still working on it. Still working on it. Okay. Gordy, if you hear this.
That's right. So favorite thing to do to unwind with the girlfriends when you aren't writing or performing?
Oh, it's always, you know, a bottle of wine or two sometimes, you know, and just venting to each other, having a day where, you know, we're sitting on the couch and I feel like it's a lot of our Canadian gals my mom's trying to call me. I'm going to decline that just so we're not hearing the beeping. but yeah, definitely a bottle of wine, venting with the girls and having a good time.
Nice. Okay, so one thing that you need to take with you when you go out on tour that you can't be without?
Ooh, one thing. I mean, obviously my guitar. That's got to come with me. But I'm trying to think of something that...
Is there a snack, something, favorite kind of, like some people have lip balm? Like there's so many different answers I've heard of this one.
You know, lately my, where I won't leave the house without it is these Celsius packets, because they're like, they're natural energy, and I pour them in my water bottle because there ain't no time to sleep. So maybe that's going to be my essential on this tour anyways, because I haven't really gone out on tour yet. So I think that's going to be my essential. Keep me awake.
Very cool. Okay, last one. What is your most useless talent?
Useless talent. I reffed hockey growing up, and I was pretty good at it, I guess. So, you know, you might not want to come to a hockey game with me, because half the time I'm watching what the refs are doing rather than the players, because I'm, I don't know, it's weird like that. So maybe that's my useless talent, because now it's just annoying everybody else.
Do you have a favorite Canadian team?
My favorite Canadian team is the Toronto Maple Leafs. My cousin played for the Leafs. Nice. And, so I've always been, I know that it's, you know, been so long for them since they,
it doesn't matter. I'm a diehard fan myself. So I'm right there with you. Right there with you. I have other teams I like too, but the Leafs are just, I have to cheer for them. It's just, we need to do that.
Yeah. So. We just need to have their back.
That's right. That's right. I want to keep cheering them on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Girl after my own heart when it comes to the teams. That's perfect. Well, congratulations on everything. The CCMA is right around the corner.
Yes. So excited. Will you be there?
I hope so.
Well, I hope you are too. I'd love to see you in person.
Oh, absolutely. And I might see you on the road. You just never know.
You just never know. So exciting.
Well, I am so excited for you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing just a little bit about what's going on. And we're so excited about your new music and can't wait for the next one.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me.
All right. You take care. Have a great night with your family tonight.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Talk soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Shantaya for coming on the show. I have some great shows that are coming up for you. I'll be interviewing Josh Ramsey from Marianas Trench. Amy Skye and Mark Jordan are going to be here as well. We've got Miles Goodwin from the rock band April Wine, Andrew Hyatt, Haley Jensen from Australia. We've also got Sash Jordan, Manny Blue, Carissa, Donna Merrow, Katie Toppin, and so many more. Don't forget to check out my podcast on musicsjourney.com for more of the artists and interviews that you don't want to miss. You also can check out the articles that I write on all the artists that you know and love with the latest music, videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. Have yourselves a wonderful day, and I will see you here next time on Music's Journey.